Yeah, now I can.
Okay, let me get my hand over here. Okay.
Out of your way. Okay? And... is the hatch. Hatch is closed. Let's see if I can lock it. And we got to turn our H2O off. Oh, we got to turn it. Let's turn our fire off first before you lock it.
Well, it's locked now. Can you get your own water? If not, I'll get it.
I doubt it. Haven't been able to before.
Oh.
Okay, I'll get it. You got your... let me see.
Mine's off. No, wait a minute. Mine's off.
No, I can't get it.
Okay, I'll get it for you. Before you move anymore, let me get over here out of the way.
Okay, and pay attention here, 17, when you come on. We'd like to leave press reg A, which is the one that's in off. We'd like to leave that closed.
Let's turn around.
Just use press reg B.
Okay, Bob.
Get it, you.
Turn some more. I can almost reach it. Another.
Okay, your aux water's off.
Okay. Okay, Bob.
No, the prime water.
Okay.
Turn your
stand by.
Your prime water's off. Is your prime off?
Yep, it's off.
Okay.
Okay. This prime water closed, forward hatch closed and locked. Okay, I gotta get the upper valve.
Jack,
move in.
Okay. How's that?
Oh, that ought to do it. I got the lock on it. Okay. Now, Bob, say again which reg A you want left.
Reg A left closed. I got it.
It's a firm, Jack.
Go ahead.
Okay, dump valve both auto. Chem repress auto.
Chem repress auto.
Okay, and I've got plenty of oxygen, so we're in good shape for an auto repress. Chem repress breaker closed, not 16.
Okay. Cabin repress closed.
Come on, baby, there it comes. Half a PSI. Okay, it is increasing. You can go to cabin on the regulator.
Reg B.
Yeah, just the one regulator you're using. 1.5.
Reg B is in cabin.
Okay, she's coming up. There's 2.0. Your next move will be to get your PLIS O2 off. Okay, get your PLIS O2 off. Mine's off. Get it?
Could be self-suited here shortly.
If you can get around, I'll get it for you.
I think I got it, but...
there, I got it.
Okay.
Verify cab pressure stable at 4.6 to 5.0. We'll watch you here.
I'm watching. 5.
EVA ended at 170 hours, 48 minutes, 8 seconds. EVA duration 7 hours, 15 minutes, 31 seconds.
You don't need your deep breath.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't need it.
No.
Verify your circuit breakers. White dot, dot plus EVA decal.
No white dots.
I'm squared away there. Squared away?
Am I?
Okay.
Looks good.
Stay at 16 now. ECS suit fan 2 closed?
Suit fan 2 is closed.
Suit fan LP closed?
Closed.
Caution lights are on. That's good until the SUP. Wait, ECS caution and they'll go out when it winds up. Doff gloves, still on comm panel. Oh, sweet music to my ears.
And put them on again in a few minutes. I know. It's still sweet music.
Come on now.
I have never seen so much dirt and dust in my whole life. Ever. Brian's not going to be able to see out either one of these helmet visors. Yes, he will.
But yeah, watch.
But they sure do get scratched if you're not careful. Okay. Getting them off these days, and just getting them on. I did it. Patient. Maximum effort. Okay, gloves are off. My gloves are off.
They're right there.
Okay, verify safety on a dump valve. I'll do that.
Okay,
I can verify that up there. And just in there.
Don't want to take a double look at something down there.
H2O valve open.
That's open.
Remove purge valve, still in purge.
Yeah.
Okay. Disconnect OPS hose. Hoses, red to red, blue to blue. We got to do that this time because we got to dump the plisses. Okay?
Okay, let me turn around here. Let me get out of your way.
I'll get back in here. Okay, I'm out of the way now.
How'd you like to get off the pliss water and get some spacecraft water, too?
Well, that's the next thing. Shoot ISO, some flowing, and we'll put pliss pump and fan off, and we'll disconnect the pliss water and connect spacecraft water.
I wouldn't leave for the world.
Okay.
Okay, I'm hooked up and locked.
Oh, okay.
Want to verify, and I'll verify. I'll do it for you if you want.
Okay, see if you can't find this one.
Bye.
locked. Okay, let me take a look at yours. Locked.
Ready for suit floor?
Yes, sir. Suit floor on both of them.
Okay.
Oh, man, that feels great.
Yes, sir.
Push pump off and push fan off.
Push fan's off. Pump's off.
Okay. Disconnect push water from PGA. Connect 11 water. Boy, I never thought air could feel so cool.
Yeah. Okay, the push water is disconnected. I think that's mine. Yeah, that's mine. Spacecraft water.
Mine's connected.
How about pushing on that?
Okay.
I gotta see it, yeah, but I wanna see it first. That's your helmet, you're gonna scratch it.
Got it.
You don't have your visor down,
yeah,
either, do I?
Got it. Okay, connect. Okay, push mono. Bob, we're both going off the air. We'll get on LimCom.
Okay, we'll be waiting for you. We're here.
Okay, go O, Jack.
How about some cooling?
Okay, zap me with it and go O, and then put your audio breaker open and connect to LimCom. And then audio breaker closed, okay? Read me, Jack. Read me. Read me? Okay, next thing. DHFV, wait a minute. We just audio breaker open, close. Okay, VHF, well, VLMP. Okay, noise threshold plus 1.5. Yeah. Okay, audio, both panels, VHF A, receive, and B off. A, receive, and B is off here. Okay, mode ICS PTT.
This is Apollo Control at 171 hours. Ron Evans in America, 3.5 minutes away from loss of signal on the 42nd lunar revolution. Ron in good shape, and all systems on America functioning well. Simbay experiments performing well also. Even though we'll be in contact for another 3 minutes, we have said good night to Ron. And he shortly will be getting an 8-hour sleep shift.
Okay, Houston, we're back on LEMCOM.
Roger, 17, we copy you loud and clear on LEMCOM.
This is Apollo Control at 171 hours, 1 minute. The three EVAs of Apollo 17 totaled.
Apollo 17, there are two of them. One, the longest single EVA, 7 hours, 37 minutes, and 22 seconds. The longest total lunar surface EVA time, 22 hours, 5 minutes, and 6 seconds. And a summary, the total lunar surface EVA time for the Apollo program, 80 hours, 44 minutes, and 8 seconds.
That's quite a tribute to the people who made it possible, I'll tell you. Thank you, Bob.
Roger, Gino, and I can't speak as authoritatively as some people have tonight, but for all of us around me, I'll say thank you also.
Your words are well taken. You know how I feel.
Ron, this is the CSM Capcom. Thought you might be interested. Your buddy up above you there is chugging around, about ready to bed down himself right now. And he did take a good look at the landing site through binoculars tonight, and took a good look at Shorty Crater there, and noticed plotted out some variations in color that may be the same color change you saw, that orange soil on that. But we're trying to match it all up. Farouk and Ron are working it out. We're trying to match it all up to see if we can get some comparison there.
Excellent. Tell him we'll see him tomorrow.
Yeah, he's counting on it.
How's America looking to you, Bob?
Oh, I'll give you an update. It's working perfect. No problems at all, and we got good Simbay data on everything, the UV, the IR, the lunar sounder, and everything that every data point we can see is just great. It's just, there's just hardly any anomalies at all. Everything's just wonderful.
Outstanding.
Gene, about the total limit of any problem up there, and it's not a problem, is we're just having to stir those H2 tanks manually because of that limiting cycle on the pressure switch there. We could go back to auto, but it's easier to go manual.
I'll be back up there tomorrow, and I'll stir them for you.
Roger.
And Jack and Gene, let me make a note here for you guys. There'll be a series of references to this throughout the checklist, but there's a general thing, and you might even put a piece of tape across it if you want or something, rather than go through and call it all the locations. We'll leave press reg A closed for the rest of the time. You might just keep that in mind.
Okay, Bob. We'll, I think we'll handle that one, okay?
Gene, there's one thing you might be interested in as the commander. We're going to have to do two burns tomorrow at, on America. The orbit, the Mascons didn't deteriorate the orbit as much as everybody thought it was, so there's going to be an RCS burn about an hour prior to the LOPC burn.
That's interesting, Bob. You're going to do a DOI-3, huh?
Well, yeah, I guess that's what it'd be. It's going to be an RCS burn, about 11 foot per second. It'll drop the, it'll circularize the orbit, and then we'll do the plane change burn.
Okay, and 17, we'd like you to press on reasonably diligently tonight. You're just about on schedule, but... if we can turn off this Marine, we'd like you guys to press on. We're looking at a nominal launch time, and we've used up, of course, all the MCCH conference, but we think you're within a few minutes of being right on. So you press on like you did last night, we'll be in great shape.
Okay, Bob. I never stopped doing what I wanted to do anyway, even though a Marine was talking. Okay, GDR is OPS 6100, LNP 6500. Okay, Houston, this is the LNP. The LNP's OPS is regulating at 4.25.
Okay, I copy that.
And the CDR's is 3.9. And 3.9.
Copy that.
That might be, I started, let me bleed it off and let me see what it regulates at next time. I didn't have my hose locked, Bob, and it came off the first try. Bob, we'll take another OPS check later on when we snow them. We're pressing on.
Jack, they're saying we better do that before you throw out the blisses, because we have to verify a good one for before you dump the blisses.
Okay, we'll do that.
Houston, we rechecked the LMP's OPS, and it's regulating at 4.25 again.
Is that a steady 4.25, Jack?
Yeah, it's done that twice now.
Okay, and it's steady once you do it, Jack, right?
Right, it's open now. We've been watching it for about a minute now.
Okay, we'll go with it then, Jack.
Okay. Okay, Bob, we're going to start the weigh-in process here.
Okay, we're ready to copy
that. It'll take a couple minutes to get things squared away.
Okay, give us a call. We're ready to copy the weights.
Okay. Bob, sample 15 Echo has a bunch of dust that gradually accumulated in my pocket.
No fair, Jack. You can't go collecting samples after the EVA is over.
Bob. Right now I can't find the sample containment bag number 5. Number 5 collection bag will be in bag 3.
Okay, we note that. Thank you. Very good.
And we're going to cross out 3 on the bag and put a 5 on it.
Okay, or I think we could keep track of it otherwise, but that's fine.
That's for our reference, too.
Sounds good.
Okay, Bob, you ready?
Roger, we're ready.
Okay, back 7 is 32. Back 4 is 31.5. Back 5 is 21. The big bag is 71. The ISA is 22.
Okay, we have those five weights there, Gino. We have 3-2 for number 7, 31.5 for number 4, 2-1 for number 5, 7-1 for the SR, the big bag, and 2-2 for the ISA.
That's affirmed. And we're standing by for your go for jettison.
Okay, 17, Challenger, we are ready for jettison.
Roger, understand.
Okay, and 17, we'd
hey,
like
Bob,
to keep
Bob?
Out, loud and clear, 17. And Challenger, we'd like to keep out the original beastless bag, the one that you launched with. So we think we're going to need that to stow samples in.
Okay, it's out.
Okay. Or it's in,
okay.
We hope.
Recorder on, whichever way.
We want it kept in the cabin, right.
Quarters on. Hey, Donnie, be close. Let me
the recorder's not giving us any recording, though. If I can't get a little reshoot out of some of these things. On your gloves, jacket, your... why isn't the recorder recording? Oh. Are we out of tape? The 8 hours on it. I don't think I left it on. I'd have left it on. I probably did if it's on now. Thought I read it in the checklist, though. Don Arabian will never forgive me.
Shall we save ourselves some ascent weight? Unfortunately, Owen wasn't listening.
Well, it was okay up until... it was just this EVA if it was on, Bob.
Okay.
Because it was working when we prepped, I'm sure of that. Hey, get down your EV gloves.
Yeah.
And we'll check each other's connectors again. I'll take my cup checklist off. Needless to say, you don't have to put your dust covers on, Jack. If that makes you feel better.
Bert, this is...
Bob, how long were we out today? 7-1?
Stand by. We got a center someplace. 7 hours and... Seven hours, 15 minutes, and 31 seconds.
How many kilometers did we put on the rover?
We have an approximate total of about 36.1.
Boy, this one is really getting stiff.
Probably another half kilometer on that when the nav wasn't working.
I don't know, yeah, we didn't, since we didn't get distance readouts all the time, we sort of interpolated those distances there.
Push on the button. Do you open it or close it?
Close it. Try it.
You don't have to push on a button to close it.
Well, it's,
they're not locked yet.
That rover mileage is straight line distance. There would be a 10 to 20% variable factor for skirting around craters and other excursions of that type. The experiment's support room expects to have a better total on the mileage sometime tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, my.
This thing down here, sir.
Wait a minute.
Angle.
Gloves are down. Let's check our PGA connectors. You want to check mine?
That's locked. That's locked. Okay. Okay. How much it changed?
Okay.
That's locked. 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 Over, I can't see.
Okay, suit circuit shall not be maintained at elevated pressure greater than 5 minutes. Okay, we want to do an integrity check here. Now, we're not going to use Reg A at all.
Right.
Okay, suit gas diverter, full egress, verify.
Full egress.
Now you're going to verify all that other stuff. Can you get it back? Cabin gas return egress, verify.
Verified.
And suit circuit release is a close. Close it.
Base going closed. Closed.
Okay, pressure, Reg. Okay, let's leave A off and pressure reg B to direct O2 to increase from a 4-0 and then go to egress and we'll check up EK.
Okay, going to,
wait a minute, I think I should have on the hand. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, it's unlocked.
Three,
hey, ready?
Four,
direct 02.
Okay. How high do they want suit?
37
and 40 cup gauge. Yeah, you give me some water.
the peg. Damn off the peg. Okay, coming up on 3-5. Okay, when you hit 3-7, I'll be with you, so you can... Okay, 3-7. Okay, mark it, 1 minute. Okay. You did go egress, right?
Yep.
Okay. Get it out. Got another 15 seconds to go. Hey, mark it. 1 minute, you go suit circuit relief auto. Okay, suit, watch your ears. Okay.
And 17, we're watching
okay.
You and you look good to us. You're go.
Right.
Okay.
I had about 2/10. And I had 2/10. 3-7 to 3-5. Okay, let's make sure we got everything. You went 4-0, then you went to egress. Did we monitor suit circuit relief auto? Pressure is decay at 4-8. Okay, that's good. Okay, we're go for cabin depress.
Roger, Roger, your go.
Okay, 16, ECS cabin repress open.
Okay, repress coming open. Circuit breakers open.
Okay. I think I'll get this barrel down here.
They want this left in auto.
Huh?
See this in auto.
Want, just all you want is 16
breaker.
Cabin repress open.
Okay.
Overhead or forward top valve open and then auto at 3-5. Get that one down there now.
Okay, you ready?
Okay, go ahead. I'll give you a call at 3-5. Circuit relief was auto, right?
Yep.
Had to. Okay.
Okay. Okay, going open.
It's coming down. I want your auto at 3-5. I'll give you a call. My suit's going up. Mark it. Okay, you're at 3-5. Verify cabin 3-5 and left suit circuit locked up at 4-3 and decaying. Okay, it's about 4-6 and decaying. How's it look to you, Houston?
Looks good to us, 17.
Okay, Jack, overhead. Make it forward dump open. And okay. I'll verify we lock up. Just decaying, the auto's working.
Challenger's cabin is being depressurized.
And the cabin's at 1.
Hatch will be opened and equipment no longer needed will be jettisoned.
Okay, hatch opening. Downward. Back when I get the hatch partially open, you can go to auto on that valve. Still no good words about the gravimeter, huh, Bob?
No, there's an outside chance that it's been a little cold, and they're hoping that if it warms up, it may take care of itself. But no, everybody's very sad about that.
Well, I could have sprinkled dirt on it, maybe. Let me go after the hatch, Jack. So about 0.2. Okay, you want that in auto? I can get it from here. Okay. You to take some of that dust out with it. Better turn. Wait, what am I saying? Hatch is open, Houston.
Copy that.
Okay. Okay. And Danny's not out there to hand us in the lightweight pussies. Okay. There goes the old, whose puss is this now? Well, look at it if you want to. Memory. That must be yours. It's red. No, that's mine. No, it's yours. Here goes the old commander's pliss. Okay, baby. Thank you for doing a good job. And that was a backup pliss, too. Well, that wasn't very good. It walked down a ladder. It went down as gracefully as you did. Look at that. Okay. What's next? Well, let's give you some of these. Here to hold? Okay. Everything that's in here. Okay? That's the first thing. Okay. Okay. And I think we ought to, well, I just mentioned anyway, we are jettisoning a set of, two sets of EVA gloves. I think that's worth mentioning. Because they did their job, I mean, just like everything else did its job. Let me jettison mine. Okay? Oops, we didn't get them cleared.
Okay, we copied two sets of EVA gloves to the surface for the last time.
Very reluctant. What else you got there? ISS? That's got it. Which the other ISS? Oh, one more. But that it? Oh, one more thing. Fifth. Oh, wait. Oh, is there something in? Watch it. I'll get it. Okay, let's get this out. Okay, the old LMP's bliss. That OPS stays where it is. Okay. Hey, put your, get it down there and then put your foot against it, it'll probably go. The only geologist placed on the moon. Good boy. Have fun, Pliss. Got everything else? Okay. Hatch seal clear. Pretty good. Pretty good from here. Looks like we don't have a broom.
Got everything else? Nothing else here to go? Nothing behind you? Nothing here? Okay. Hatch gone closed.
Get to this again tomorrow. I know it.
Okay. Door hatch closed. Let me see if I can't lock it. Okay, it's locked.
Okay, Kevin, refresh. Jump valves, both auto, verify.
They all are auto and locked. Okay, Kevin, repress, auto, verify. Verified. Hot 60, Kevin, repress, closed.
Repress going closed.
Master alarm and Kevin warning light on. There it is. Kevin's coming up. Okay, it's increasing. You go to cabin on that one reg.
Yep. Bravo.
Cabin. Okay. Okay, Kevin is coming here, it's about 5. Okay, lights are off, repress stop, cabin pressure stable. Okay, Houston Challenger, we're going to take off our gloves. Hello, Houston.
Roger, look stable and standby. Okay, you're good on the suit there, guys.
Speaking of suits, these things perform super. And we can get our helmets off.
I can already get unscrewed.
What is
this? I can brush my hand. Let me try the other one.
Let me get it for you. I'm free here. There's no sense. Yeah, but I'm... there. Okay. The right one went easy last night. I think they're all really good. Helmet is off and I'm throwing it in the bra. Tell there's no change in our mind now. The pussies are gonna be hard to retrieve.
Hey, Challenger Houston.
But you could if you had to though.
Challenger Houston from the old backup crew that followed you every step of the way. Super job on EVA, you guys.
Okay, Thank you, John. Appreciate the words, Jose, but we also appreciate your helping us get it this far.
Roger, Neil.
And you know, and all those things you tell people, was that Charlie? I haven't heard your voice. Didn't sound, you know, all those good things you tell us about dust and all those other things, you know, you believe them all, just like everybody else does, but you just got to come out here and experience it for yourself to really be a believer.
Yeah, well, I take it all back about it all looks the same.
Hey, it really doesn't, Charlie, but all those physical things you get handicapped with, there's a lot of easy things as far as 1/6G, but all those other things, you know, there's nothing like doing it to be a believer.
Well, you guys did it great.
Charlie, it may all look the same, but Tars Littrow, mark my words, has some variety.
Yeah, we could tell that, Jack. Great job.
Thank you, Charlie, and thank you for all the help.
Hey, Charlie, I remember a long time ago when I said something about being down among them. I didn't know what it was until we got here.
And, Challenger, we have a good word from the old program managers. Even though you guys were pretty piggy there in bringing rocks back, we're going to let you keep them all. You only busted the red line by 40 pounds.
Okay, he's a pretty good guy anyway.
That assumes your good buddy upstairs gets a good plane change tomorrow.
Oh, he will, and I tell you, Gene and I both have lost 20 pounds apiece on this mission.
We can believe that.
Verify safeties. Hey, we're on Fox, anyway. Let's go to ICS, Pete.
It's safer that way.
Yeah, especially when you don't know you're talking. Okay, we came to the end of the EVA 3 prep and postcard.
Hey, Roger, we're following you to the surface checklist.
Jack and I are going to frame this... Jack and I are going to frame this page 2-3, cut it down the middle and each take half. I'm going to take the front half, Gene will take the back half. Okay, Roberto, we're going to manage the old batteries.
Okay, and Challenger, we're ready to manage the old batteries.
The old ED batteries are 37.2 A and B. I was just going to say, I wish we had a broom.
This is Apollo Control at 172 hours, 8 minutes. The change of shift news conference is scheduled in the MSC News Center briefing room for 1:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, approximately 30 minutes from now.
Okay, we're happy with your battery management. We're ready for you guys to go to low.
You got low.
Thank you. Challenger, Bob, I'm going to turn you over to Casper about now. Let him put you guys to sleep.
Bob, I'm not sure what you mean. Who's your friendly ghost?
I bet you can guess.
He doesn't know anything about the limp. He doesn't know anything about the limp.
To learn.
For you, I believe that. For a lot of people, I would. Welcome aboard, Ken.
You guys make a pretty interesting show to watch.
I hope so. Hear you breathing, Ken.
Yeah, just noticed it.
Hey, Ken, you can tell your friends off to the left there that I've turned the biomed off.
Okay, thank you.
Bill, Euchre Challenger, CDR is going off the air.
Okay.
control at 172.32 ground elapsed time. We're estimating a change of shift briefing with the off-going Orange Team Flight Director Pete Frank and the spacecraft communicator Bob Parker. Just being relieved after completion of EVA 3. We're estimating that press conference to commence in approximately 5 minutes in the small briefing room, Building 1 News Center. 172.33, this is Apollo Control.
Hey Jack, Houston, you busy?
Say again, Kent.
Are you busy? I'm sitting here looking at a couple of questions they wanted to ask, and whenever it's convenient for you, I'm not sure just how busy you are right now. And just keep in mind, I got a few questions to ask you on the traverses, and give me a call when you're ready to talk about it.
Okay, we're unsuiting, Ken. Let us get unsuited, and we'll be back with you.
Okay, just whenever it's convenient for you.
This is Apollo Control. The change of ship press conference is prepared to begin at this moment. We'll take down the air ground circuit at this time and play back accumulated tape at the conclusion of the press conference at 172.44. This is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control at 73 hours, 3 minutes ground elapsed time. The crew aboard Challenger at this time still unsuiting, getting prepared for bedding down for their final night on the lunar surface. Final Earth night, that is. And as much as they're in the middle of a 14-hour lunar day, Spacecraft America now behind the moon on the end of the 43rd lunar orbit. There are about 55 seconds of tape from the air ground one contact with the lunar module Challenger, which were accumulated during the just completed change of ship press conference. We'll play back that tape at this time and continue live with the remainder of the communications prior to the sleep period for Cernan and Schmidt at Taurus Littoral.
Challenger, Houston.
Go ahead.
Hey, how about if we hit a pull on a Dusky and get it in the pool and then back in the standby. We're worrying about the clock registers overflowing. And we'd like to get that done before 172.50 or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay. Standby. Is that what you wanted?
We can't watch it, Jack. If you just tell us that you've got it in the pool and back in PO6.
That's what happened. How'd you watch it the other night?
No, we don't have any high bit right now.
Hello, Ken. How do you read Challenger CDR?
Loud and clear.
Houston Challenger, how would you feel about the canister being changed now?
Stand by. Okay, change her out, Gino.
Okay.
For your information, we're trying to negotiate some time for you here. We're about 1.5 down. We know how to pick up 1 hour of it. We haven't quite figured out how to gain the other half.
Okie doke. Well, we're all unsuited now, and we're about ready to talk and eat at the same time, or listen and eat here at the same time. And it won't be long. We'll be ready to get the stack.
Okay, fine. Ken's trying to negotiate the question session for you here.
Canister is changed out now.
Thank you.
Okay, Ken, we're on and ready for that debriefing, and you should be getting Jack's biomed also.
Okay. Okay, before we start on those questions, are you prepared to copy some liftoff times and your data book and that kind of stuff?
Give us about 10 seconds.
All right, sir.
Go ahead, Kent.
Okay, this is Rev 44. Liftoff 174 plus 13 plus 49er. TPI 177 plus 01 plus 00. Okay, I'll give you just a liftoff time, excuse me. For Rev 45, 176 plus 12 plus 19er. 178 plus 10 plus 49er. 180 plus 09er plus 20. 182 plus 07 plus 50. 184 plus 06 plus 20. Rev 50 is 186 04 50. Over.
Okay, Ken, starting with 44, 174, 13, 49, 176, 1219, 178, 1049, 180, 0920, 182, 0750, 184, 06, 02, 186, 0450. And what's the present rev, please?
Okay, we're coming up on 40. In fact, it looks like we're in 44 right now. Okay, and Jack, how about let's confirm that Rev 49 was 184-06-20.
No, I did have that wrong in the seconds. 20 seconds.
That's affirmative. Okay, and we got your biomed coming through.
Well, one. Am I alive?
Just barely.
And I'd like to believe that you read that one wrong, because I've gone through 50 copies on that without a mistake.
Well, I'll settle that with
50 rev.
All right, sir. And
okay.
Looks like it's about time for an eat period, and I've got these questions for you, but let's keep in mind that that's secondary, and if it ever gets in the way of eating, why, holler up and we'll just drop it right there. We're about an hour and a half behind the timeline, and we're going to make up no more than an hour of that.
Okay. I think okay, Ken, we're cutting into the chow, and go ahead.
Okay. Would you like for me to just read you all the questions and let you mull those over before you work on it, or do you don't want to do one at a time?
One at a time is better, Ken.
All right, sir. Number one, wanted to know if the blue-gray rocks at Station 6 are similar to those at Station 2.
I think they are, but I think you'll find that the ones at Station 6 are much more metamorphic rock, a recrystallized rock, than the ones we had at Station 2.
I had the impression that the ones we were sampling at Station 6 were really inclusions in the in Orsa City Gabbro and had been probably considerably metamorphosed by being included in it. Whereas the ones we had at Station 2 were a separate rock type, apparently, as I recall it, anyway.
Okay, that's good.
Ken, let me just say that my impression is that there was a lot more action in the rocks at Station 6 than 2. I saw a lot more. A lot more was evident. The inclusions, some of the patterns, some of the other things we saw.
All right, sir. Let's go on to the second one. And it said, do we understand that there were no breaches at Station 8?
Again, the one apparent orthopyroxene plagioclase rock was a breccia in the sense it was fractured and was injected by dark glass, but it would be what we'd call a mosaic breccia in that respect, I think, and didn't see any Station 6 or Station 2 type breccias there at all, other than the subfloor gabbro that both pyroxene plagioclase rock was the only major rock type I think we saw, unless we picked up some in the rake sample.
Okay. Okay, the third one says, what are your impressions of the distribution of familiar subfloor gabbros throughout the EVA 3 traverse?
Well, I don't know. I think we discussed that a little bit on the traverse, quite a bit as a matter of fact. The impression I had was that most of the traverse on the plains, with the one exception of Van Sert Crater, we were in bog fields or fragment fields that were almost, well, were dominantly subfloor, and visually from the rover, I had no impression of any other significant rock type, with the exception of occasional blocks of the gray variety of the subfloor gabbro. And I don't know what Gene's impression was. He was driving a lot, but pass it on. I think we actually even commented when we hit the break and slope coming back out of Station 6 and 7, and then back off at coming back down of 8, how the terrain features changed. I think that was due principally to the what we've been calling subfloor material evident. And there again, it was what I would say, particularly mantled, filleted, much like we have here where the limb is, with the exception of Van Sert, where we actually saw fragmental boulders for the most part, a lot less buried, sitting on a surface.
All right, sir. At Van Sert, some rocks were described as gray breccias, and some contained white fragments. Was there a variety of breccias present?
I think not, Ken. My impression was that there was a variety only in their the degree to which they were fractured. We found and sampled, I think, the two major, one extreme, extremely fractured rock that I said was friable. And anyway, it broke into small pieces very easily with a hammer or in your hand if you worked at it. And the other was a breccia that
was much more cohesive than that. It was not fractured or friable at all, but they both were on the rim, and I think they were just varieties of probably of shock fracturing.
Okay. Could the Van Zurich breaches correlate with the blue-gray material at Cochise?
That's possible, I guess, but my first guess would be that the blue-gray at Cochise was blue-gray subfloor. And, well, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. We maybe with the pictures we have, we can work out the an attitude, approximate attitude on that contact that I talked about at Cochise and see if it would project over reasonably to Van Zurich. I wouldn't be surprised if it would. That's a good point. To me, they look very similar.
Okay. And you guys sure you're eating?
But Ken?
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're eating. We're fixing and eating at the same time.
You're mighty efficient. Go ahead, you were starting to say something.
I think from the distance we saw the blue-gray in Cochise, you couldn't make a definite correlation, but it's a good idea and ought to be considered as one of the possibilities. The other is that we just had a window in the subfloor that coincidentally, I mean, what underneath the subfloor might be that breccia. Coincidentally, the Van Zurich impact hit that window.
Okay. Can you tell us anything about the cow pie at Van Zurich? Was it a clast in the breccia?
Negative. It was a... excuse me, I have my mouth full.
About time.
It was an aggregate of irregular, looked like agglutinated glass and fragments just sitting down the rim of Van Zurich. And the reason I said I thought it was in place or had fallen there and crystallized there is that there were four or five similar fragments arranged in a small coherent area. Not making that very clear, I don't think, but it looked as if it hit and broke apart upon hitting a little bit, but didn't really splatter or break apart in any significant manner.
All right.
There are similar things. I'll tell you what it looks like. If anybody's walked up the rim of Kilauea Iki in the ash out there, and on top of the ash, there are bombs that were fairly clearly molten when they hit, and they just enough strength to break as when they hit, but the individual pieces didn't move very far at all, and you can see that pattern on Kilauea Iki, and it was the same kind of thing, except there was no directional aspect of it here.
Okay.
Now, that's not to say it's volcanic glass. That's just the kind of pattern it was.
Okay. Can you tell us if the darker material in the bottom of Van Zurich was similar to the collected rim material?
I think so, except that, as Gene pointed out, the clasts were coarser. They were coarser in the bottom than what anything we saw on the rim.
Okay. Are there any distinctive features other than color to separate tan from blue-gray breccias, such as joining or massive nature, continuity, anything of that nature?
Yeah, where do we find those tan britches?
Challenger, it's Bob. I think we were talking about some of them. I think at Station 1 the first night we had both natures. In fact, I think we had, didn't we have two of those in the same rock together?
Oh, they were both Gabbros.
Yeah, excuse
Bob,
me.
There were tan Gabbros and blue-gray Gabbros.
Roger. Okay, yesterday, excuse me, I wasn't reading the question. Okay, the britches. There were tan and blue-gray britches yesterday at Station 2, were there not? You had the two types of britches at Station 2.
Yeah, that's right. And now I think back, I guess that's the main difference between the tan rocks at Station 2 and Station 6. But the ones at 6 appeared to be have an igneous texture, or at least a very crystalline texture, and inclusion-like masses of other rocks, whereas the ones at Station 2, they seem to be fragment breccias, as I recall. That's right. Although they may have been recrystallized or metamorphosed, they were clearly breccias at Station 2. I just forgot about that.
Okay, copy that.
Can you amplify your description going out to Station 6? In particular, were there blue-gray and tan-gray bands on the North Massif?
Rather than bands, there were lines that appeared to be the upper terminus of the source of the boulders that were strewn below that line. And those lines tended to be either show a blue-gray source or a tan-gray source, if you will. All those hub bags.
Challenger, if you think you're talking to us, you're breaking up badly.
I just thought you might be interested. We just had a little herd of dust come up by the window.
Was there a sleigh with it?
Nice guy.
Okay. Did you see very much of dust, or was it just one little shot?
Did I answer? One little shot, it was actually just particles. Something that we threw out must have popped.
Okay, do you have any preliminary stratigraphic sequence for the planes?
Are they planes, huh? Well, my guess would be that the Van Zert breccias were the oldest rocks. The Gabbro, subfloor Gabbro, the next oldest. And the mantling material is the youngest. But that's the only good clear relationship was mantle on top of the subfloor Gabbros. We really don't have a good relationship of the breccias, and I guess I lean towards thinking that Van Zert was a window in the subfloor rather than being built a bed of some kind on top of the subfloor.
Okay, and do you have an opinion on what underlies the sculptured hills?
Well, I think we said that the rake sample is probably going to have to tell the tale there. My guess is from the boulder, boulders the subfloor around up there that are of gabbro, and maybe the sculptured hills are a version of the subfloor rocks. I don't think that the orthopyroxene and orthosite rock was necessarily indigenous to the sculptured hills. It was glass-coated and permeated by glass, so I suspect it may have been thrown there by an impact somewhere else.
All right, sir. Got one last thing for you to clean up. Back on page 7-6 of your checklist, looks like we may have skipped some steps on the gas return valve, and like to make sure that you get that auto and the gas diverter pushed to cabin before you stow the oxygen hoses.
Okay, Ken, we got cabin gas return auto.
Okay, I understand auto, and you got the selected cabin?
Yeah, gas diverter pushed to cabin, and we're drying the PGAs now.
All right, sir.
And I guess if you could go in, my feeling is if you go to the bottom of every one of those large craters like Camelot, you could examine some of the fragments on the walls and down into the bottom. I just get a feeling you'd find this blue-gray breccia down there.
All right, sir.
I mean in all the big craters like Camelot.
But I think maybe that's true. However, we do not see isolated fragments of it very often, if at all, out here on the plains themselves, away from the craters. So if the blue-gray breccia does, the Van Zirk breccia does underlie the subfloor, the craters have not, it's far enough down that the craters we have apparently have not penetrated and brought up much of that kind of material. Well, that's it.
Okay, guys, it's time to press on and finish up chow time, and I've got your stowage summary whenever you're ready for that to get started on.
Okay, Kim, let us finish eating, then we'll go back to work.
Okay, give me a call when you're ready.
I'll help you, miss. Okay, Ken, I'd like to go ahead and hear your recommendations on storage, and I'll write it down.
All right, sir. Page 2-2. I've got some numbers to fill in at the bottom under the collection bag stowage.
Okay, I've got it.
Okay, and number one with a aft engine cover is bag 8. And then the second line, it's bag 7. The third line, it's bag 6 left hand and 5 right hand. And the last line is bags 2 and 4. And you can disregard the max weights.
Okay, just so we got it straight. After the engine cover, bag 8. Left-hand side, bag 7. Left-hand plus the right-hand side, number 6 left-hand and 5 right. And the ISA, bags 2 and 4.
That's affirmative. Hey, Jack, the people down here watching things notice that your suit iso valve is still in disconnect. If you're trying to dry the suit out, you might check that. It's your option, what you want to do with it.
I'm glad somebody's watching things. Thank you.
Ken, we're in a process of getting all these bags in the proper places now.